Good morning. How's everyone doing today? Let's open with a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I'll praise you and thank you so much for this wonderful look into the future world we will enjoy and be with you forevermore. And we'll be in your presence and ruling and reigning with you and being your servants. I'm looking forward to that day so much, Lord. And we give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, continuing on in Ezekiel 44, I'm going to try to tackle verses 11 through 16 today. And I named this one the Millennial Temple Priests. Actually, pretty much the entire rest of this chapter talks a lot about the priests and the daily activities of the priests in and around the temple area. And so let's get into the verses. And as usual, I'm going to have a nice little backdrop. We've got a few things to talk about on the temple itself when it comes to what the priests are doing. So I'll have an interesting little backdrop here as soon as I find the right. There it is. And let me get these out of the way. And we'll bring in some verses. Hey, starting off in Ezekiel 44:11. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge at the gates of the house and ministering to the houses. They shall slay the burnt offering, the sacrifice of the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them. This is where we left off. And just finishing up, I probably should have included this with the last one, but that finishing up, these are the people that are not the priests that will be ministering to the Lord. They're going to be temple workers in around the temple area. And we kind of indicated before, that it seems that they were, they had defiled the temple by their actions and what they did prior to this period. And some verses that point out, that talk about that. What I think this is basically, let me read through this section. Because they ministered unto them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity, therefore have I lifted up thine hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. And they shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house for all the service thereof and for all that shall be done therein. So they're going to basically be serving the general temple area. And just some verses that kind of indicate that why I think this might be true. First off, starting off in Matthew, where Jesus talks about this period of time of the temple. And starting in verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetops not come down to take anything out of their house. Neither let them which is in the field return back to his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. So that's Jesus' warning about this period of time prior to this. Before this is the halfway point. So now we're about 3.5 to 4 years later. Temple's back in operation. And we have these same people who, of course, come out of the tribulation. And it seems that they have done some error. They have erred with the Lord. And some other verses that kind of indicate what those errors were is back in Ezekiel 40:45. And he said unto me, this chamber whose prospect is toward the south is for the priests, the keepers of the charge of the house. I don't know why I put that there. I think now we're getting in. Oh, no. Okay, I don't know what that verse. Here's the verse I wanted. Numbers 16:9. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. Oh, in 2 Chronicles 29:34. But the priests were few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings, wherefore their brethren the Levites did help them till the work was ended and until the other priests had sanctified themselves. But the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. For they were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of killing of the Passover for everyone that was not clean, to sanctify them unto the Lord. Some other examples of those who weren't clean but did temple service in other areas of the temple. Okay, now we're going to get back into the priests here in verse 15. So like I said, I think that it definitely indicates that that whatever is good, that the workers, the general workers of this temple area, are all parts of the Jewish nation that came out of, I think, the tribulation period. And I don't know if this is going to include any of the prior generations of the fathers of, going all the way back to Jesus' time. You know, those had been resurrected. But I get the impression we're going to see here coming up, maybe not today, but tomorrow, that these priests are actually mortal. They're actually going to be getting married. They're going to have children and families, and that they don't seem to be of the resurrected saints that we seem indicated within Revelation. And as I pointed out in some of the teachings we did up to this point, so jumping down to verse 15, but the priests, the Levites. Okay, I want to talk about this. The sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me. They shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. Now we've got to unpack this verse a little bit. And I want to talk about the temple priests and this idea that if we're talking about a specific group of people, that the priests, the Levites, okay, so they got to be the tribe of the Levite, the tribe of Levi, and they have to be a particular line of the sons of Zadok. And I'm going to show you through these passages that Zadok was actually a descendant of Aaron. So look at some verses over in Ezekiel 40:46. And the chamber whose prospect is toward the north is for the priests, the keepers of the charge of the altar. These are the sons of Zadok among the sons of Levi, which come near to the Lord to minister unto him. Okay, so the chambers that is of the north, that's these chambers here, I believe, because you see the north side up there. And these are keepers of the charge of the altar. These are the sons of Zadok among the sons of Levi, which come near to the Lord to minister unto him. So they're going to have the task of actually coming directly into the Holy of Holies to present food and to be the basic temple worship, temple keepers that do the bidding of the Lord in the temple area. Kind of like, what's the word, people with that honor. You know, at, when I was researching this, I couldn't help but think about a very special group of people that dedicate their lives to service. Well, actually, not their lives, but a few years. And that's this, have you ever been to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Washington, D.C.? It is a group of people that dedicate 2 or 3 years of their lives to presenting themselves and guarding that tomb. And I kind of got the impression when I was reading some of this that these are like the Lord's personal assistants. There you go. and they're dedicated. And after you see the great ceremony they go through with the clothing and everything else, I remember being offered when I was in the Air Force if I wanted to become part of the temple detail. And I read through the rules. It wasn't something at the time that I wanted to do, but there's plenty of people to do it. There's a quite a list of rules. You can't drink. You have to spend a certain amount of time studying the aspects. There's a bunch of historical aspects of the tomb. Your clothing has to be perfectly pressed every day when you go on duty. Your shoes spick shined, and you actually spend a certain number of hours a day making sure you're prepared to fill your shift. And it's quite a undertaking. And you do this, you're not allowed to be married, I think it was. You have to be single. You basically live right there at the temple area, or actually, no, the tomb area. And day and night, 24 hours a day, there's a guard on duty guarding the tomb of the unknown soldier. So something of interest. If you want to look it up, it's quite fascinating what those young men dedicate to do for a period of time. So back to the sons of Zadok. So the sons of Zadok actually goes all the way back to the time of Aaron, and I'm going to kind of look at a little bit of a lineage here. Just a few more verses here over in Ezekiel 43:19. Now shall give to the priests, the Levites, that be of the seed of Zadok, which approach unto me to minister unto me, saith the Lord God, a young bullock for a sin offering. And verse 48:11, it shall be for the priests that are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, which have kept my charge, which went not astray when the children of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray. So this group of peoples kept pure. They didn't defile themselves by doing anything against the Lord, having to do with defiling the house. So they got this special honor. And 1 Samuel 2:35. Now I'll raise up me a faithful priest that shall not that shall do according to that which is mine heart and my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and shall walk before mine anointed forever. And I'm getting to realize that no matter where in the Bible you see God saying something is going to happen forever, it's going to happen forever. And so that gives me the impression that this temple is also going to be in existence forever. And that kind of fits into a little bit what I was talking about, that the New Jerusalem, I have a feeling, is not really going to be sitting on the earth, and that this temple will be on the earth forever. And it's going to be where Jesus rules and reigns forever. So it's going to be like the world government building. As we're going to see, there's going to be areas around here too that are set aside for certain purposes, the land near here, and further chapters. So as I was looking through this, I'm only picking a few. There's over 50 verses that talk about Zadok being part of the lineage. I'm just going to pick some, but there's over 50 verses going through 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, plus here in Ezekiel. But I'll just mention a few. So the first time Zadok is mentioned is back in 2 Samuel 8:17. And Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Amalek, the son of Abiathar, were the priests, and Saraphi was the scribe. So Zadok going all the way back to when he was appointed a priest. This is during David's time frame. And just to show that it was during David's reign, if you go to 1 Kings 1:8, but Zadok the priest, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with. So here we indicate that along the time of David was also Zadok the priest. Also over in Kings, 1 Kings 1:32, and King David said, "Call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and they came before the king. So you can see that that David had him as his was the priest at that period of time. And Zadok continued on even into his son's reign of Solomon. And over in 1 Chronicles 29:22, and did eat and drink before the Lord on the day with great gladness. And they made Solomon, the son of David, king the second time, and anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief governor, and Zadok to be the priest. So here we see Solomon has become king, and and Zadok is still the priest. Another interesting thing I saw while I was doing this is that Zadok had a grandson whose daughter became reigned also. And we see over in 2 Chronicles 27:1, as Jonathan was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name, so the mother of Jehoiakim, also was name was Jeshua, the daughter of Zadok. So the daughter of Zadok's son, or Zadok's grandson, became reigned after Solomon. I found that really fascinating. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So he was a good king, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. I think he got, I was looking at my little chart, if you remember that chart. I don't know if I grabbed it or not, so I could show it to you. Let me check real quick if I see him in the lineage. Where did I have that? It's not an out set of pictures. I may not have it here available. No, I don't have it right now. That's actually in my Daniel picture. No, I had it originally in here. I don't know if I can find it real fast. Can't find it right this minute, but maybe I'll try to find it for tomorrow. But anyways, he was a good king. I looked it up in my Bible, and it looked like he's maintained a good, being a good king. So where were we? So just a couple other interesting points on this over in Ezra. And I want to show you that he was in the line of Aaron. So here in Ezra 7, 1 through 5. After these things, in the reign of Xerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Sarai, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub. So we know that this is the right Zadok, this is the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Meraniath, the son of Zerahiah, the son of Zuzi, the son of Berki, the son of Abishua, the son of Phileas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. So you can see that he's in the line of Aaron. So I would make him the chief priest also, or within the proper line. So you can see that this line has continued all the way through from Aaron because we keep talking about Zadok. So Lord, the Lord's keeping track of this line. And so it must be still in existence today. And that's going to carry on into Millennium Kingdom. And these priests are going to be of that lineage. And so it speaks there of the sons of Zadok. So he did have some sons. And we see it over in 1 Chronicles 6:8. And Habetub begot Zadok, and Zadok begot Hemarites. That's one of his sons. Over in verse 12, Ahitub begot Zadok, and Zadok begot Shallum. So these are two sons, and we also know he had a daughter. That's the ones we know about. I was talking about a little bit about the fat and the blood it mentioned there. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savior. All the fat is the Lord's. So this is back in Leviticus, and it's talking about the fat is the Lord's. So it continues on here that this is a sweet savior, and it's offered to the Lord. As we see, and we're still talking about Ezekiel 44:15. And also over in... And he shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood. So that through all the Jewish nations, they're not supposed to eat the fat or the blood of the offering. It's for the Lord. So you can see it carrying on here, even into the Millennium Temple. And also in 17, 5 and 6 of Leviticus. To the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for a peace offering unto the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savior unto the Lord. Now this part doesn't look like it's going to happen where they sprinkle the blood anymore, because we're not forgiving sins. Because we didn't see that part. Let's go back to verse 15 for a second. And you notice here it says, towards the end there, it says, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. It doesn't say anything about sprinkling it or burning it or anything along that line, but they're still presenting it to the Lord himself. So unlike the Levitical temple, the Lord, this time they're actually bringing it to the real Lord, or Jesus Christ. Okay, on to verse 16. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. They shall come near to my table. That's rather interesting. And if you remember, we kind of took a look at this table. And let's, I'm just going to show you a picture of it. Okay, it's there in the distance. This is the room here of the, what they call the holy place. It's the area before you get to the Holy of Holies. And this is standing in the Holy of Holies, and you can see that table. You notice there's nothing else. When we looked at those other temples, you could see other stuff. You know, there was the altar in here, and there was, so the Lord is going to have his throne room in here. This particular picture doesn't show it, but this table here is the only piece of furniture we see. And so we can see this table being talked about here. Let me move the verse for a second. So you can see that table there. So this might be the table they're talking about. It used to be the altar where they burned incense, but now it's a table. Or it could be the table similar to the showbread table talked about in other, that we're going to mention here in a minute. Let me see if I can grab that real quick and show you what I'm talking about. Yeah, here's one. Here's a table, and if you look, this ain't the best picture of one. Oh yeah, it's right behind the, you see the priest there in the middle. Right behind him is a table. That's the showbread table. But now it seems like this table is actually going to be in front of the Lord. It's a good example I was talking about, though. There's the Holy of Holies, a cutaway view. And you see the two cherubims and the Ark of the Covenant. And we don't see anything, any talk about that in the new temple of being here. So it's another difference. And it seems like this table is going to be right in there with the Lord. So it's going to be like his desk, more or less. The thing you got to realize is we're talking about Ezekiel here. So this is like, this is still around 540 BC. So he's still thinking like a Jew. He just came out of the of this temple here, this temple period. And so this is what he's familiar with. So a lot of this vision is similar to what he would know. And so it would make sense to him. I'm sure that he even noticed the difference because he didn't put any of this stuff in these other verses as he was describing it. Remember, he was told by Jesus, or by the guy showing him the temple, and by God, that he was supposed to show this to the people. So some verses to go along with this are Ezekiel 41:22. The altar of wood was 3 cubits high, and the length thereof 2 cubits, and the corners thereof, and the length thereof, and the walls thereof were of wood. And he said unto me, this is the table that is before the Lord. Just some, I guess, you know, I think most of us who enjoy food love the thought that we're going to be able to eat in the Millennium Kingdom. And we can see here that the Lord is being served each day with food to eat. And I couldn't help but pick on a few verses I would show you that where the Lord ate during his time here on earth, before and after. Obviously before he needed to eat, but even shows him in his resurrected body that he ate. So I guess I'd show you some of those verses to finish up here. Yeah, I'm pretty good on time. And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. So you can see here he's eating. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat this with my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink this henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That's a great promise to remember. I threw that in there just as a reminder. I know I read it before already. But particularly after the resurrection, I love this part that he still ate and actually used it as a proof that he was still had a physical body. So we're in Luke 24, starting at verse 36. And as they spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. This is where he just appeared in a locked room. It gives you another idea of what it's going to be like for us, being able to get around pretty inefficiently. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that he had been a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you yet troubled? And why do the thoughts arise in your heart? Behold, my hands and my feet. That is me, that is I myself. Handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye anything, any meat? Meat in this context means the food, just basically food. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Like it's another favorite spot when he cooks everybody breakfast over in John 21. Because again, this is after the resurrection. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of them disciples thus asked, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, this is the famous story where Jesus basically forgives Simon Peter after he gets him to admit that he loves him three times. So I can kind of see that this what used to be the offer of incense is no longer needed, and it's just a table for the Lord to eat on. And so it could be something similar to a desk. I'm not exactly sure, other than holding court and people coming to worship him, and I'm sure he's going to still be an administrator. He's going to have to deal with things going on in the world, and how that's all going to fit into to the world, I'm sure that we're going to learn and find out. And since we'll be working with him, as we'll be, I kind of envision us as being teachers, but also governors and mayors and people in charge of the different parts of the country. And we'll have this ability to communicate with Jesus without any interference. And that's where I got into that whole light thing, is that I feel that we're going to have a communication method that is unrestricted back to the Lord, and that we're going to be able to speak to him at a moment's notice, even if we're thousands of miles away. So I figure we're going to be spread out all over the planet. At first, there's not going to be many people, so we'll probably be helping to build cities and be around, mostly around the Israel area mainly. But there'll be some people on the earth, and as the population grows, we'll be spread out all over the earth. Being that people live longer, some calculate that it could be as many, by the end of the 1,000 years, when Satan is loose for a short season, they figure there could be a population of anywhere from 7 to 10 billion people on the world, about as many as there are today. Because right now we got a population of about what it takes about 1,000 years to develop. Even during the millennium, there's going to be death, but people are going to naturally live longer that accept the Lord as their Savior and want to be under his leadership. So fun times. It's going to be interesting. And I've always thought that we are training now to be those teachers, because we're going to basically be teaching. As we can see here, a lot of what we're seeing is being taught to the priests that go all the way back to the original temple. So I can see that we're going to be using the same basic Bible, I think, that we have now, except that they will have the actual Jesus Christ ruling and reigning. They won't have to guess. They won't have to have faith necessarily, but they still have to believe. And so it'll be interesting to see that some do defy the Lord and want to do things their own way. So it could be rather interesting. Let's see, where am I? I got Exodus 25:23. This page. And just a little bit about the showbread. And this is the, thou shalt also make a table of shittim. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof. And a cubit the breadth thereof. And a cubit the height, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. Jumping over to Exodus 37:10. They made a table of shittim wood, 2 cubits was the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. Also, talking about being in charge or taking charge over Numbers 3:31. And their charge shall be the ark, and the table, and the candlestick, and the altars, and the vessels of the sanctuary, wherein they minister, and the hanging, and all the service thereof. So the charge that they're talking about in this passage has to do with those items, basically the furniture. Also in 2 Chronicles 13:11, and they burnt unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. The showbread also set they in order upon the pure table, and the candlestick of gold, with the lamps thereof to burn every evening. We keep the charge of the Lord our God, but ye have forsaken him. In this particular case, they're talking about the people who were in defiance of the Lord, but that they the true keepers of the charge of the of the temple kept true to him. We read about this over in Hebrews 9:2. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Kind of interesting that a lot of some of that stuff we have our, in our own sanctuary, at least the table, for the communion table, we call it. Very similar in nature. Okay, so that's about it for today. I'd just show, we'll begin the next session with 44:17. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner court. So we're going to talk about the clothing and the general preparation before they're allowed to come into the temple. Great ceremony. And so we'll end there to today, and I'll end with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this, this getting to know you, Lord, getting to know what you're, what kind of temple and what kind of organization you're going to be having during this period of time, and that we can learn more about what life is going to be like, and you help us to understand our role as we go forward, and help us to be ever mindful to keep pressing on in these latter days, that we continue to do your work until you decide to bring us home. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. So I will talk to you all again tomorrow.